This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
We turn next tonight to news of a major change when it comes to the tax deadline for Americans. The IRS tonight is now delaying the deadline from April to mid-May, May 17th. And President Biden making news on taxes. George Stephanopoulos asking the president if he's going to be raising taxes. And the president acknowledged that's his plan. And he clarified who will see that increase. Americans making more than $400,000.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, more on that coming up. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for being here with us. You glad you have a little bit longer to do your taxes? That news came, of course, from ABC's. That was David Muir. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. I want to bring you up to speed on a lot of fun things, including St. Joseph. We'll talk mercy. There's a new book out by a great bishop. He'll be stopping by. Bishop Thomas Papraki is going to be here. And there's some big developments that might affect you and your finances coming up. If you're a procrastinator when it comes to taxes, you think, oh, I'm always doing it in the last moment. I can't stand doing my taxes. Well, guess what? You're probably not alone. Yesterday, the IRS, they announced that they're going to delay, you know, tax filing until May 17th because of COVID-19 and because they're busy, I guess, now cutting checks. They're issuing $1,400 checks right now from the so-called American Rescue Plan. And that also means that you can delay making payments on any of the money that you owe. That's pretty good news too, right? Until May 17th without penalties. Now, I've had guests on my radio program in the past, and they're pretty clear about doing one thing when it comes to your taxes. File, all right? Yes, I know you say I don't have the money. They say you better file anyway. I know you don't have the money. That's fine. Nobody's been thrown into jail for not having, you know, the money to pay their taxes. But they've been thrown into jail for not doing them, for tax evasion. So get them done. All right. Now you can, Patrick, my board officer, said instead of procrastinating in April, you can procrastinate in May. So, yeah, you got an extra month for that. You should also be aware of something else. Those $1,400 checks that you just got, you might remember the previous checks you got. I think there were two other payments. They were protected from any kind of liens or garnishments. However, because this bill came about through what they call budget reconciliation through that process and not through a legislative process, that protection could not be written into law. So if you owe the IRS or other entities some money, you may not be getting $1,400. I know somebody who said to me, oh my gosh, I only got $800. I said, did you owe the government any money? And apparently their taxes were garnished. So you'll expect a lower payment because IRS, you know, it's going to get hit. The tax man's going to get a share. So on top of the deadline being moved, here's another look from ABC Good Morning America on what President Biden said regarding a possible tax increase, maybe in your future.
President Biden is pushing back against Republicans who say Americans should brace for a tax hike to pay for Biden's agenda.
They want to raise taxes across the board.
But the president tells George Stephanopoulos that's just not true, insisting only the rich will see their taxes go up.
You're going to be raising those taxes.
Yes. Anybody making more than $400,000 will see a small to a significant tax increase. If you make less than $400,000, you won't see one single penny in additional federal tax.
You didn't get a single Republican vote for tax cuts. How are you going to get a Republican vote for a tax increase?
Oh, I may not get but I'll get the Democratic votes for a tax increase.
As for this year's taxes, the IRS tonight announcing it will delay the April 15th filing deadline to May 17th, giving taxpayers an extra month to respond to a host of pandemic-related tax changes. It comes as the IRS is sending out those $1,400 stimulus payments, more than 90 million distributed so far.
Yeah, they got out pretty quick, didn't they? In New Mexico yesterday, another piece of legislation, the Senate passed a bill that would allow for assisted suicide. And it's a bill the governor, I think, is going to sign. Well, they're expecting him to sign it. The bill's called the Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Act, and it allows not only doctors but nurses and physicians and assistants to prescribe a lethal drug to people in their terminal illness. It's tragic to hear this, but still, I think it's worth you knowing a little bit more. WKRQE in New Mexico was reporting on the latest on this bill. Listen.
A bill making it legal for terminally ill patients to end their own lives is now headed to the governor's desk. House Bill 47 would allow a mentally competent adult given no more than 6 months to live to get life-ending medication. Opponents argue it would leave patients open to abuse and coercion by family members and insurance companies. But supporters say other states have adopted similar laws without those problems.
Well, Jake and I, Jake, you know that I'm an East Coaster, and any city west of the Mississippi gets a K before them? I think I added a W to.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Drew, the FCC is probably listening to that. They're like, oh, we're going to check that station out, see why they're called WKRQ, the whole alphabet. So.
ABCD.
But that's insider radio talk here. So
WKRQE does not exist. It's KRQE.
Yeah.
New Mexico, my apologies. I just think of it. Yeah, you're on the other side of the Mississippi. Yeah, everything on, like, I grew up in the Philadelphia area outside of that, you know, so it's WCAU, everything is W.
Everything east of the Mississippi, yep.
Yeah. Anyway, for New Mexico, I guess they now join about seven other states, plus the District of Columbia, in this threat to human life. The Catholic News Agency reported that under the bill, if you're a medical professional, and see, this is part of the problem I see coming, and I've been talking about this we talked about it with the Equality Bill and Equality Act and a lot of other issues. A medical professional has got to determine that the individual has the capacity to give informed consent. And those with mental health disorders, intellectual disabilities, may request assisted suicide after further medical evaluation by a mental health professional. But medical health professionals are the ones that are going to be put, you know, on the front line of making these decisions. And as a Catholic physician, you know, if I was one, I'd certainly have a real issue. It's a chance really to shine, too, I guess, in your Catholic faith as a doctor. Stand up for truth. Stand up for life. Utah's governor, this is a good bit of news I came across too, speaking of what's happening across the country. They're considering whether or not to sign a bill that would require cell phone companies to automatically block porn. Automatically block porn from being accessible on phones. Now, you might say, Drew, I've got the freedom to look at what I want to do. And, you know, what's porn? Who defines it? A lot of questions, right? I think it's a good idea. You know why I think it's a good idea? I think there's a lot of kids on playgrounds across this country whose older brother or somebody says, hey, did you see this? Look at this. And they're seeing it way too young, and it is forever changing their lives. I've spoken to more men who've had their lives set on a really bad path simply because of early exposure to pornography. So what they're saying is that any phone that's sold in the state would automatically filter out. Though, you know, as an adult, if you're complaining about it, you'd still be given a passcode so you can access it. But kids won't be able to access it. It's going to be hard for them to get the code or to hack through it somehow. I think another layer of defense is good. This is a good effort on Utah's part. Congratulations. My hat's off to you. However, there is a provision in the law that it will only go into effect if five other states pass similar laws because of cell phone manufacturers. You know, the manufacturers complained about this. Oh, it's too difficult to implement filters for just one state. So the governor has not yet indicated whether he's going to sign it. I hope he does. I hope other states say, great idea. We love it. You might remember on Monday, we got a lot of action on this one. And I know this might affect you personally. The Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith issued a statement saying that the Catholic Church is still teaching what the Catholic Church has taught for two millennia, and that is this basic fundamental, teaching that Catholic priests cannot bless same-sex unions because you can't bless something, you know, that in and of itself runs diametrically to God's law, what he intended. So the White House spokesperson, Jen Psaki, she was asked about it. And here's what she said. Listen.
I don't think he has a personal response to the Vatican, no. He continues to believe and support same-sex unions, as you know, and he's long had that position.
All right, so that's her saying, hey, you know, where's Joe Biden? He's Catholic, right? And everybody's saying, oh, well, how's Joe Biden going to respond to this? Because you remember Joe Biden actually officiated over a same-sex wedding? So now the Pope's saying, hey, we Catholic priests can't bless these weddings, so... Of course, I thought it was a good question from whatever journalist asked her that. You know, oh, he continues to believe and support same-sex unions. He does? Isn't he Catholic? Am I missing something here? I don't get that. Joe Biden's Catholic, right? Am I not wrong on that, right? He's asked directly after the Vicar of Christ, the Pope himself, comes out and says, no, the church cannot bless same-sex unions. And what do we hear out of the White House? He continues to believe and support same-sex unions. As you know, he's long had that position. So not only has he long had that position, as I said, he presided over a so-called wedding between two male White House staffers. And I don't want to be, I'm not being uncharitable. I hope you don't see me or interpret me as being that way. That's when he was vice president, he did that. I mean, this is just a fundamental teaching of our Catholic faith. And if it does not resonate well or it seems hurtful, that's not what it's intended to be. I mean, the church always operates out of love and what's good for the individual and most importantly for the human soul. Now, how Joe Biden's going to be dealt with by church authorities, I mean, that remains to be seen. I'll just say one thing, and I'm going to end it on that note. Pray for Joe Biden. Pray for an epiphany, an enlightenment. Pray for a conversion. Pray for our bishops, all right? Pray that the bishops say, hey, Joe, we need to have a talk. You know, you're professing to be Catholic, and you're bringing a lot of confusion, a lot of scandal by your position on this. Maybe you don't totally understand why we teach what we teach, so let's have a sit down. I don't know what the dialogue will be, but let's pray for our bishops. Let's pray for him. And let's together, you and I, be true. Okay, let's be true to the teachings of the faith. You might have a son or daughter that's gay. You might be gay. You might have a cousin. You might have somebody. Everybody has a family member or an extended relative or a friend or a coworker. So I said, this is not meant to be uncharitable. This is what the church teaches. And I think there's a lot of confusion that Joe Biden is bringing about. And of course, he continues not just to support same-sex unions, despite the Vatican's statement on it. That's just it's another dig at the church, but we got another one today. And again, I'm glad that you tuned in. I'm glad you allowed me to kind of give you a perspective on what's unfolding in the culture and how our faith is really on the front lines of a lot of what unfolds. The Senate barely confirmed the former California Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. As far as anyone knows, Becerra, he's got no experience in health or human services, having been an attorney for his entire career, an attorney who did really nothing in either field. But that's not the worst part of it. Just again, to zoom out and just to show you what else is going on here, you might remember it was this guy, it was Becerra, that prosecuted David DeLeiden for exposing Planned Parenthood's horrific practice of selling body parts. And he also put in the crosshairs of his gun, the Little Sisters of the Poor. Yeah, he sued these Little Sisters of the Poor because he wanted them to pay for abortions and contraceptions. That's what he wanted. Yeah, no. You have a vow of chastity and poverty and what? Wait a minute. I'm going to sue you. I want you to pay for abortions. I want you to pay for contraception. And that he went at, you got to remember, he then went after the pro-life pregnancy centers, wanting them to tell all their clients that they could get an abortion as well. This is the administration that the Biden administration is putting together. Both the Little Sisters of the Poor, that case, and the pro-life pregnancy center case went to the Supreme Court, and he lost both of them. So Becerra, struck out on both cases. So why would you want to hire him, an attorney who lost two major national cases, to run the department with the largest piece of the federal budget? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out to you. Something to think about. But he's the one in charge. Do you remember the exchange between Senator Romney and Becerra a few weeks ago at his nomination? Senator Romney, I'm glad he did this. He boldly questioned him on his stance on partial birth abortion. I think this is a very telling exchange.
There's a division in our country with regards to the issue of abortion, of course, as you know, and Democrats disagree. But most people agree that partial birth abortion is awful. You voted against a ban on partial birth abortion. Why?
So, Senator, here, I understand that people have different, deeply held beliefs on this issue, and I respect that. I have worked, as I've mentioned, for decades trying to protect the health of men and women, young and old. And as Attorney General, my job has been to follow the law and make sure others are following the law. And I'm also sitting in front of a high-risk OBGYN who for several decades had the work of protecting the health of women and a future baby. And so I will tell you that when I come to these issues, I understand that we may not always agree on where to go, but I think we can find some common ground on these issues because everyone wants to make sure that if you have an opportunity, you're going to live a healthy life. And I will tell you that I hope to be able to work with you and others to reach that common ground on so many different issues.
I think we can reach common ground on many issues, but on partial birth abortion, it sounds like we're not going to reach common ground there.
Amen to that. How can you, huh? How can you? It's impossible. It's good to have with me today Mary Hallin Fiorito. She's an attorney at the Cardinal Francis George, fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington and the De Nicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. A very eloquent writer. In fact, I think she just posted a piece this afternoon, and I think it's in the Chicago Tribune. I'll have to ask her. My producer was telling me about it right before we went to air. Mary, welcome. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Always a joy to be with you and your listeners.
Your latest article, Chicago Tribune, am I right on that, or where was that posted?
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune, and actually it ran, let's see, what day is it's about a week ago it ran, and in advance of the vote that occurred today in the Senate for Javier Becerra's confirmation, which I think, unfortunately, not only for Catholics, but for many people in the country, was confirmed. And the one sort of holdout vote that really could have changed things was Democrat Joe Manchin, but he did vote to confirm him, as did Susan Collins of Maine. And so with that, of course, it was very narrow, as you mentioned at the outset. Very narrow victory for him, and I have to say, I'm glad you played that clip of Mitt Romney holding his feet to the fire on partial birth abortion, because you know here he is talking about a consensus, and that's a particular abortion procedure on which there is tremendous consensus in the United States. I think when various people are polled, it's between 70% and 80% of all Americans think it's barbaric, and it's one type of later term abortion procedures that are performed. But because the baby is three quarters of the way outside of his or her mother when it's performed, it is illegal now to do it, that particular type of late-term abortion. And, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, even people who are identifying as pro-choice and as liberal Democrats think that's going too far because it's really not abortion, it's infanticide because the baby is three quarters of the way born.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The article, by the way, is Xavier Becerra is a poor choice for the HHS secretary. We just linked over to it, by the way, Mary. It's going to be on our Twitter and our Facebook account, and people can read that as well. Let's talk about, a couple things. You mentioned Joe Manchin. I know a lot of conservatives, so there are Republicans out there that hold out hope that he's somehow going to be very rational and hold the line on some very critical issues. Where do you see him? How does he play out in all this?
Gosh, well, I'm a little bit surprised because he really is known for having fairly moderate views. And with Becerra, the issue isn't even so much his pro-abortion mindset, which is really, I mean, again, he supports partial birth abortion. He was asked during those same Senate hearings if he would condemn sex selection abortions, the majority of which are done on baby girls for no other reason than the fact that they're girls. He wouldn't condemn those. So he's kind of out there. And so Becerra's positions on that are pretty extreme, but the bottom line is with him is that he doesn't have the kind of experience that one would expect for someone who's going to be heading up Health and Human Services. He has been, as you mentioned, he's been a prosecutor. He's an attorney. He's been a prosecutor pretty much his entire career, except for the time that he served in the House of Representatives. And he doesn't have any experience in overseeing even statewide or local health programs. And now he's going to be overseeing the entire nation's health care programs in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And there's a senator, Senator Cassidy, who is himself a physician, who expressed tremendous concern about this during, you know, the hearings, saying, you know, I put some questions to him. He was saying this to his fellow senators very respectfully, but I put some questions to him, and I found him incredibly lacking in that he was unable to answer even some pretty basic questions about public health care programs that he's going to be running. And, wow. you know, you can't expect wow. everybody to know everything about every job, but he right. really doesn't have the depth of knowledge about what public health care is and how it's managed that one needs to serve at the national level. I mean, this is not a learn-as-you-go job. He really, you know, and the previous holders of this position, if they've been governors, as a governor, you're overseeing your state's health care programs. And he has no experience whatsoever. Now, I don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, he is strongly endorsed by Planned Parenthood. The Planned Parenthood National Federation endorses him, and in order to receive that endorsement from them, it's right on their website, you have to oppose things like a ban on abortion after 20 weeks. So you really have to be pretty far to the left on the abortion spectrum to get their approval, which Becerra has received. You know, they put a lot of money into Joe Biden's campaign. Planned Parenthood stands to gain a lot by if someone who is friendly to them, because as they call them health care centers, we would call them abortion mm-hmm. clinics, stand to gain a lot of federal funding, you know, via HHS. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of the word in Washington, if you kind of listen to the, you know, the word on the street is that it was sort of a payback appointment that Planned Parenthood gave, I think, $45 million to Joe Biden's campaign. And this particular appointment was sort of a, you know, a thank you to them for their support. They said, you know, in exchange, they basically wanted Javier Becerra because, you know, he's somebody who has been one of their champions. So it's just sad, and I think it's going to be difficult for healthcare institutions that are run by the church too, because as you mentioned, you know, Becerra is not a friend of religious liberty.
Right.
He has multiple times attempted to force the Little Sisters of the Poor to provide contraception and abortifacient drugs to their employees, even though they couldn't find one employee of the Little Sisters of the Poor who actually wanted those drugs. So it's a mess, Drew, but at the end of the day, God's still in charge, thank goodness, but this isn't good for public health. Again, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so we'll see what happens.
So much to talk about. Your article is up, by the way. Xavier Becerra is a poor choice for HHS secretary. If you want to read it, you want to learn more about him, it's on Facebook and Twitter. Go to @DrewMarianiShow or Facebook, it's the Drew Mariani Show. Mary, stay on the line. I do want to talk to you. Bishop Papraki is going to be stopping by. We got a lot more straight ahead. Stay with me.
Now it's time to kneel because something very important is about to happen. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 26th lesson on the Mass. At this point of Mass, everyone is invited to kneel for the Eucharistic prayer. We kneel because something holy and miraculous is about to happen. The bread and wine will be changed into the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we kneel. The first Eucharistic prayer, also known as the Roman Canon, is the prayer that your parents, grandparents, and great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, all the way back to 1570, would have followed in Latin at Mass.
Te igitur, clementissime Pater.
It was the same from the Council of Trent until the reform of the liturgy of the Second Vatican Council. The Roman Canon is still basically the same, except we now pray it in English, and we've added the name of St. Joseph to the saints we commemorate at Mass.
Mass with Father Rocky, noon central.
And join us for Class After Mass. Hi, this is Cale Clark. It's the Faith Explained, 12:30 central every day on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans,
The Drew Mariani Show, live
at 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. It's great to be here with you today. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Coming up in a few moments, there's a new book out. I want to get you plugged in. Of course, I wrote a book, too. I want you to have it, and sure it's free. Today is 1 week from the day I launched that book. Okay, 1 week. It's called Divine Mercy. We'll be praying Divine Mercy, the chaplet, coming up in a minute. But today's a great day to get it. As I said, I know there's a limited print run on this thing, so go get it today. If you've not signed up yet, it is relevantradio.com, and you'll see it right there on the front page. You'll be in and out in about 15 seconds. We'll even pay for the shipping and the handling to come right to your front door. All right, so no strings attached. Nobody's harassing you. No. Just, it's my gift to you. It's the network's gift to you. We believe in divine mercy. We want to promote divine mercy. We want it to be part of your life because it'll help you in your walk with Christ. It'll help you come to trust God in a deeper way. It'll open the power of your prayer. And I'll tell you what, it's a weapon of conversion for those away from the faith. You know, the Lord said such wonderful things to St. Faustina about how the prayer of the chaplet can be used. But there's other treasures. We talked about the hour of mercy, the image of divine mercy, the feast of divine mercy. And what the Lord revealed to this humble little nun with a third grade education that one day may become a doctor of the church, about the afterlife, about the sacraments, and so much more, about prayer, what prayer does to your soul. I mean, there's so much in this. I battled to keep it to 140 pages, but I got there, and it is packed. It's full of a ton of stuff that you're going to love. It'll introduce you to divine mercy, and really, I think you'll come away with it, I think, enriched. At least I hope you do. Please pray for me when you get it, though. It's yours free, though. Get it now. Get it today. It's 1 week, as I said, limited run. So you got to call. You got to go right now. Do not call. Just go to the website, relevantradio.com, or you could go to your mobile app and use that as well. I'm joined today by a friend, a very eloquent writer. She wrote a piece on on Xavier Becerra. And of course, if you're just tuning in, I'll fill you in on what we were talking about a few moments ago. He was just confirmed as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I didn't know if it was going to happen. Shouldn't surprise me, though, right? He's not really qualified by any means. He's been Little Sisters of the Poor. He's the one who, you know, went after David Dalyden for exposing Planned Parenthood for selling baby parts and a whole litany of other things. So when it comes to the issues of life, when it comes to partial birth abortion, when it comes to pro-life pregnancy centers. I mean, I can go through the whole litany of things. They should be concerning, but there's one other thing I want to put on your radar too. He said some wacky things when it comes to your First Amendment. And Mary, it's good to have you back with me once again. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that he has said that I know concern you especially.
Right. Well, this was during the confirmation hearings in 2017 when he was becoming the California Attorney General, replacing Kamala Harris, who had been elected to the Senate. He talked about the protection for religious freedom being only for individuals and not being for institutions or other entities, which is a rather strange reading of the First Amendment's religious freedom and religious protection elements, to say that they apply only to people, individual people, and not to things like a Catholic hospital or a Catholic university, that those particular institutions or entities aren't given the same kind of protections that individual people are offered under the First Amendment. And he actually used the word bootstrapping. He said religious institutions are bootstrapping the First Amendment's protections on behalf of somebody else. That's a really frightening statement.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, from somebody who is going to be now, you know, overseeing the nation's health care policies, you know, Catholic health care and other institutions, Catholic entities, you know, have always played a very pivotal role in this country, you know, in terms of our healing ministries and other things that we do. And if he doesn't see those particular entities as, you know, as guided by our religious beliefs, then, you know, we could have a big headache ahead of us here in the next 4 years. It's very, very concerning. So this is, again, from all sorts of different angles. I go into it in my Tribune piece. Thank you for your kindness in posting that. Some other areas, David Dalyden and the Little Sisters of the Poor and his attack on pregnancy centers. This is somebody who is just really, really ideological. And again, as you say, not qualified for the job because he's never overseen any health care.
Well, Mary, thank you for your time. I've got to leave it right there. His Excellency Bishop Papraki is going to be joining us now. But keep writing. As I said to you during the break, look, the door's open. I always love talking to you. And thank you for this piece. We linked over to it, and I hope everyone will read it and learn who this man is. Xavier Becerra, A Poor Choice for HHS Secretary, written by Mary Fiorito. Mary, we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for being here.
Okay, thank you, Drew. God bless you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. We are now in the second half of Lent. Maybe your Lent is going well. I hope it is. And if it's not, hang in there. We're almost done, right? there's a bishop who I have a lot of respect for. He's always been very vocal, very clear on church teaching, unwavering even when it's politically incorrect. And he's an athlete. He is a great hockey player. And he was working on a book, and I've had him on during the elections, and I asked about it. He said, Drew, it's coming out soon. It's coming out soon. He's a man who really believes, look, we need to be fit. We need to be in shape, both physically and spiritually. He wrote a book called Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. And look, after COVID-19, you might have packed on a few pounds, right? After the winter, we all pack on a few pounds, and maybe you're trying to kickstart the diet or get into shape. And I don't think it's ever too late to restart our spiritual journey. You know, as I said, I had a friend call me the other day, and he gave me this wonderful just pep talk out of the blue. And he's talked to me about fasting, and it put me back on that path to fasting. And now I'm fasting again, and I'm finding a power, and I'm feeling the intensity in my prayer. So if you're doing a lot of physical exercise right now, why not couple it also with the spiritual, right? You got to remember what the reality is. We don't have two separate parts of us, right? A physical and a spiritual. We're embodied souls. We're both body and soul, and you can't separate the two of them. So this separation comes, for now at least to death, but it's built into our faith that at the end of the time, our body and our souls will reunite with one another, and we'll be in heaven or hell, with those bodies. So here to give us a perspective is His Excellency Bishop Thomas Poprocki, the Holy Goalie. As you know, the author of a number of books, his latest, as I said, Running for a Higher Purpose. You can check him out at holygoalie.net. He's also the great shepherd of Springfield, Illinois. He's a bishop there, and it's great to have him back with me again. Hey, Your Excellency, thanks for your time. Good afternoon.
You're welcome, Drew. Good afternoon. Great to be with you and your listeners again.
Congratulations. It's done. I was waiting for this book. I'm glad it's out.
Well, yeah, thanks. Well, you know what? Last year when things were shut down during COVID, I found myself with a lot of extra time on my hands. And so I was asked by Ave Maria Press to write another book. They said my first book on Holy Goals for Body and Soul had done pretty well. And that book was written more from a hockey perspective. But they said, well, you got another hobby and you like to run. So maybe you could actually write a how-to book for people who are thinking about just getting into running, or if you're a runner, getting into running a marathon. So I run 24 marathons, so I have some tips in there, but I also interweave a lot of spiritual stories in there, too. So it's spiritual and physical fitness going on.
As I said, I think we need both. First of all, I think it's going to do even better than Holy Goals for Body and Soul. I do. That's a great title. And by the way, this title here, too, Running for a Higher Purpose. I love that. I think that's such a great title. 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. Write that down. We'll tell you how to get it too, and maybe give it to somebody as a gift. Maybe read it yourself. Maybe pass it along as well. Now, I know you're a bishop. You've got a lot of demands on your time. So how do you balance your spiritual life and your physical life, if you will? Because I'm sure you probably work out. I know you played with the Blackhawks at one point in time. Do you still play hockey? And how do you balance, the temporal with the spiritual? How do you intertwine the two?
Yes, I still play hockey. I get out there once in a while. I'm actually helping to coach our high school team here, Sacred Heart Griffin High School in Springfield. And so I get on the ice with them so they have another goalie to shoot at. But
that's great.
Keeping a balance here, it's actually, I find that it's the physical activity that helps to give me more energy and more time. People might think, well, exercising, running wears you out. It does kind of the opposite for me. I usually run first thing in the morning. I pray while I'm running. I have a little finger rosary. I'm praying. I'm starting my day with prayer and exercise. And frankly, I'm not much of a morning person. So, I get out the door and maybe I'm dragging a little bit at the beginning, but within a half mile or so, the blood's going and the oxygen's pumping into my brain. And then I come back and I'm just rejuvenated. I'm ready to go for the day. So
I love it.
It energizes me.
Great idea. And running can be torture too. I'm not a runner. Mm-hmm. I like racket sports. I like some other type of sports, but, from a spiritual perspective, can physical exercise, say we say, okay, we want to lose the weight, we want to go for the jog, or you want to do whatever it is, do the push-ups, or whatever your form of exercise is, can physical exercise be offered, let's say, as a form of penance? Can you make the physical side of the equation a spiritual exercise?
Oh, absolutely, in several different ways. I mean, so one of them I already alluded to is you can pray while you're running. So, as I said, a little finger rosary, just what that is, it's 10 wooden beads on a string, and just wrap that around your finger. And so I'm saying the Hail Marys while I'm running. Or I just sometimes in my own thoughts and mental prayer, I have sort of a personal litany I go through. I pray for people by name, family members, parishioners, my priests, and you know, the Holy Father, and you know, so that I got a whole list of people that I pray for. But you know, that's just you know, one of the ways in which we can make that connection is by, you know, actually praying while we're running. But I also it's just the sense of you hit the nail on the head in your introduction when you talked about the connection between body and soul. You know, I think sometimes we tend to separate those. Actually, that's the ancient Greek philosophy was, you know, the spirit and the body are separate. And, you know, the Greek notion of immortality was your spirit would live forever. And sometimes I think Catholics even fall into that, which is not really our teaching. You know, we say the creed, we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Well, that we're referring to our body. In the creed, you know, it's earlier when we talk about Jesus, he rose again on the third day. That's Jesus' resurrection. In the creed, the resurrection of the body, we're going to rise again. So, you know, when we die, our bodies are temporarily separated from our spirit. But when Christ comes again at the second coming, he tells us our bodies will be raised up in a glorified form. And that's a really beautiful thing to look forward to. I remember doing a confirmation once, and I was talking about this, and one of the confirmation candidates was in a wheelchair. He had some disability that he was immobile, just in his wheelchair. And I was talking about this immortal body that we'll have that, you know, will be raised up, the glorified body, like our Lord's glorified body was when he rose from the dead,
right,
and have no more pain or suffering or disabilities. And he let out a cheer. That was the best news he heard. Someday he's not going to be stuck in a wheelchair.
That is great news, you know, and you're right. One day we will be reunited. While we're on this side of the veil, though, it's hard. And we know that I think one in three Americans suffer with obesity. They battle that. Diabetes is high. I mean, there are so many different issues. There's food addictions today. Is it a matter of will? I mean, what do you see happening here? I mean, so many of us maybe lack the will to get into physical shape. Your perspective on where we've come today, why this is such an issue. And again, maybe it ties into some of the great vices. Maybe it's gluttony. You know, I don't know. Maybe we need to work on the spiritual life to build more virtue to help offset this. But your thoughts?
Well, that brings up the 8 steps that I talk about in the book. So they all start with R. So I've got review, reform, resolve, repeat, renew, relax, reward, and rejoice. So you kind of start with that first step, review. And again, the connection between the spiritual and the physical, these steps apply in the same way. So like review, you maybe look at yourself, look at your physical condition and say, you know what, I'm really out of shape. I put on a lot of weight. I've got to do something about this. In the spiritual life, we call that an examination of conscience. You look at, you know, your behaviors, or you know, where have I been sinful? Where do I need to overcome vices and grow in virtues? The next step, reform. You assess where you need to improve, and then you identify how to do that.
Right.
Resolve is you make up your mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to train for a marathon, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to start going to Mass every day, or at least you know, make sure I get there every Sunday. Repeat that. You know, you can't do it just once. You can't run a few miles and say, okay, I'm ready to run a marathon. You got to keep training. Our spiritual life, you have to go to Mass and repeatedly. You just don't do it once and say, okay, I'm good. Confession, the sacraments, communion. Renew is that it just bring about a whole renewal of body and spirit. Relax. You know, we need to have time to let your body recuperate, and even spiritually, that's why we have the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is a day of rest, and then reward that we look forward to. The physical reward is you'll be in better health, you'll lose the weight, and you'll feel better, or you'll finish a marathon. That's a great reward. And then our eternal reward is we look forward to eternal life, and then finally rejoice. You finish a marathon, you're happy about that. I've accomplished something, and then we look forward to the joy of eternal life.
Well, Your Excellency, what's the best way to get the book? I have about a moment left here with you. I love the title, as I said, Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. How do people get it?
Well, the best way to get it would be through my personal website, which is holygoalie.net. And if you go, you can get it also through Ave Maria Press and their website, AveMariaPress.com. But if you want an autographed copy, you can get it through holygoalie.net, and we'll be happy to send you an autographed copy.
I love the autographed copy. That's great. Your Excellency, thank you. We'll talk more. I've got to take a short break here, but thank you for your time, for your witness, and once again for another winner. I think this book is going to surprise you. It's going to do wonderful. Thanks for being here with us.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you. That's His Excellency Bishop Thomas Poprocki, known as the Holy Goalie. Check out his book, Running for a Higher Purpose, the website holygoalie.net. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and invite them into the loving arms of Jesus. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy begins soon on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I really, really need our prayer community.
And invite them into the loving arms of Jesus.
God's blessings on you.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy begins soon on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, we'll pray in about 10 minutes or so. I'd love to pray with you. And if you want to get in, you can call 888-914-9149. It's an honor for me to join with you. And I know that when two or more gathered, Christ is present. And the power of our prayer when we're together, I think it's amplified. I really do. I think it is amplified. I just want to remind you very quickly, if I could. Today is 1 week. 1 week ago from the day that I had announced that my book on Divine Mercy was done. And I hope you've gotten it. You may have already heard this message and said, oh, Drew, I already signed up. Well, thank you for doing that. Please tell one other person. You know, if you have it, tell one other person to sign up. I want as many people as possible to get it. We have a limited print run, and I really want to get you on board today, if you can, to do this. So it's relevantradio.com, and it's free. Just go there, and we'll pay for the shipping and the handling. There's no strings attached. We just want you to be armed with the beauty of the message of Divine Mercy. Lives are being touched. Lives are being changed. Lives are being impacted. Souls on their deathbed are being saved. That's the power of this prayer. Look, you and I are about to pray together, right? And we're going to ask God for His mercy. And I know we've all faced problems. You know, my wife has got a cousin who's hanging on to life. She's dying, and God will call her home, unless there is some dramatic miracle. But we're prepared for her to make entry into paradise. You know, I'm happy for her in that respect. I'm sad for the family. However, you might be saying, Drew, I can't, my bills are so far behind, they're coming from my house, they're going to repossess my car, I can't pay for my medication. You might be saying, my husband's an addict, or he's into porn, or he's leaving me for another woman. It might be the kid that is battling the addiction. You might be battling chronic pain and some health problem. We all have it. And the Lord told St. Faustina, and I dedicate a whole chapter on this thing, because it's so important to me. It's transformed my own spirituality. Trust. The Lord spoke to her about trust. He said that the graces of my mercy are drawn down by one vessel only. This is what he says. The graces of my mercy, they're drawn down by one vessel only. And that is trust. The more a soul will trust, the more it will receive. How much do you trust? How much do you really trust that God can get you out of your situation? How much do you really trust that God is on your side? The Lord over and over again told St. Faustina, I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of grace that I cannot contain them within itself, but radiate them to other souls. A desire to give graces to souls who trust in my mercy. Will you trust today for that miracle in your life? If you have trouble with this, I know you're not alone. All the great saints understood the secret of trust. It was the thread that worked miracles in their lives. It's what resulted in healings. It's what resulted in miracle. So, you know, God will meet your spiritual needs. He promised you that. He said just as much there. You know, he'll provide for your physical needs as long as you put your trust in him. St. John of the Cross, I remember one story from him. He was informed by a cook in his monastery that there was no food for the following day. Right, we're, you know, he came up to you, we have no food, what are we going to do? You know, we have all these mouths to feed, what's going to happen? And you know what St. John of the Cross said, and I love this, and I've seen this personally. He says, leave it to God. Leave it to God, the care of providing the food. Tomorrow's far enough off. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. He'll take care of us, he said. The next morning, there was still no food, right? Until a wealthy benefactor came to the door, and he explained that he had dreamed the previous night that the monks might be in need, and he brought enough food and supplies to sustain them just in case the dream was true. And what does Scripture tell us? Scripture tells us, do not be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body or what you should put on. Is not life more than food? Is life not more than the body and clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They don't gather into barns. And yet our Heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Such a powerful scripture, isn't it? Matthew 6:25. I love that. The Lord tells us, what does being anxious do for you? Does it add a cubit to your day? Does it add to your life? No. I think worry short circuits your life. The Lord told St. Faustina, on that particular point the same thing. I found it very interesting. This verse of Matthew 6:25, it lines up with everything that Scripture tells us. What did the Lord tell St. Faustina? He says that nothing wounds his heart. Nothing wounds him so deeply as the lack of your trust. Faustina wrote in her diary, it's diary entry 595, she said, God is so displeased, he's very displeased with lack of trust in him. And this is why some souls lose many graces. She goes, oh, distrust, it hurts his most sweet heart, which is full of goodness and incomprehensible love for you. We must be completely dependent on God's mercy and his grace. And we must trust that God is there for you. He will save you. He'll give you the resources you need to cope with those life's challenges, whether it's the medical problems or the finances, whether it's the relationship, whether it's the anxiety or the depression, whether it's the blood disorder. He'll give you the graces you need, not just here, but to achieve eternal destiny. That's the beauty of our faith. And the saints had a profound awareness of the Lord's presence in their life. Do you? Do you? Yeah, I vowed to God. I said, I will never worry again. I am placing myself in your merciful rays. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be upset. I refuse. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I know somehow, some way, he's going to bring good out of that situation. Look, if you struggle in this area, and I know it's hard, you're not alone. I'm human. I struggle in it sometimes too. Please do yourself a favor today. And maybe it's your daughter that has anxiety. Maybe it is somebody else in your life that is depressed because of their circumstances. Give them my book, please. I mean this with every ounce of my being, from deep within my heart. I make a plea to you. This is free. There's no strings attached. You know, I'm not asking for money. Relevant Radio is going to print this book, and we are going to pay for the shipping and handling so it can come to your door. Get it today. There's a limited quantity of books. There's a limited run right now. So be the first to get it. Make sure you get it. Go to relevantradio.com right now, relevantradio.com, and sign up for it. Or use your mobile app and do a favor to somebody else. Maybe it's the neighbor. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's your boss, you know. Tell them about it. Say, hey, look, why don't you sign up for this free book? And we're asking everybody to order one because they're free. So get your niece or your nephew or your cousin or somebody else. Get everybody on board. Let's get this in the hands of as many people. Ask your parish priest to put it in the bulletin that it's free, that people can sign up. They can get this book to them. But get on now. you know, I dedicate a whole chapter to trust. And honestly, there's so much I could have put into that chapter. And again, I battled with what to do. I tried to anchor it sometimes in scripture. I could have spoken about St. John Bosco or St. Francis Cabrini or St. Albert the Great or so many of these saints that had these experiences. We know the apostles learned the importance of faith. We know what the Lord told us. Now it's your turn. Let's exercise our trust. Let's exercise our faith in the Lord. Let's pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Let's ask for that miracle, that impossible situation that threatens you and faces you right now. And let's see how the Lord responds. I'll be back.